Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Hello everyone and welcome to Stronger Minds with me, Kimberly Wilson. I'm a chartered practitioner psychologist with a master's degree in nutrition, so I talk about psychology, mental health, food, and everything in between. The theme of February's newsletters was the psychology of love and relationships, and you asked about so-called hyper-independence. So let's start with a definition. Hyper-independence is most often described as a trauma-related response that includes several of the following behaviours or beliefs. A fear of relying on others. An avoidance of delegating or asking for help, even when it's needed. Being secretive or guarded in relationships. Contempt for neediness or weakness in others. Terror of dependence and/or an overvaluing of independence. Fear of vulnerability. But actually, this is where we encounter our first problem, because since hyperindependence is not a diagnostic term, it's not clear how we arrived at this definition. There aren't any clinical papers on it, and there is no obvious originator of the term who has stated their observations and linked them to any objective values. For example, where does a preference for doing something oneself become a fear of relying on others? And at what point does that start to cause harm? Because that is what we would consider to be a problem, a pattern of behaviours that impairs your functioning, either in relationships or in your activities of daily living. So, at the moment, it's a descriptive term for a pattern of common, not particularly clearly defined behaviours. It is a term that has been popularised largely on social media, and this is where we encounter our second problem, because overwhelmingly I have seen hyper-independence labelled as a trauma response by lay individuals and qualified mental health professionals alike. But I don't find this helpful. If, for example, this behavioural tendency emerges as a response to past abuse, then we're in a stronger position to call it a trauma-related coping mechanism. However, it could easily come about for a number of non-trauma-related reasons. For example, in Western countries, self-sufficiency is culturally endorsed. We say, if you want something done properly, do it yourself. Because, apparently, you can't trust others to do something well. American culture, the spiritual home of the solo entrepreneur, is characterized by valuing competition and individual success. The British stiff upper lip, the state of stoic self-reliance and emotional self-restraint, a throwover from the days of empire, was for a long time a cultural norm, not a response to trauma. In young women, a strong tendency to self-reliance could be understood as a response to the cultural conditions in which the aspiration is to be a girl boss, a strong, independent woman who doesn't need to rely on anyone, especially not a man, for anything. Because you have to remember that our cultures have spent a long time valorizing the independent success story. Articles abound on the importance of self-reliance as a requirement for entrepreneurial success. We vocally praise self-sufficiency and self-care. It might not be a huge leap of logic for certain personality types, for example, those more prone to perfectionism or conscientiousness, to be more likely to take this to an extreme. Now, we think that a large proportion of personality is genetically linked, so again, it's not clear that in this circumstance, a traumatic experience would be required to set these behaviours in motion. But also, even where there were less than ideal early circumstances, a tendency to hyper-independence might be better described as a psychological habit rather than a trauma response. For example, someone might say, "My parents loved me, but they were busy. There was always food on the table, and they made efforts to make sure at least one of them was at my football games, but they weren't really around to help with my homework. So I got used to doing things by myself." This person did not have a traumatic childhood. Things were less than ideal, and they adapted. But with a little awareness and encouragement, these people might find it very easy to ask for help. For them, learning to delegate is more of a skill they need to acquire than any evidence of a trauma they need to recover from. So yes, for some people, it could be linked to adverse childhood experiences, but not everyone, and it doesn't help the latter group to start self-identifying as traumatized. I'm also not a massive fan of people describing themselves as an avoidant or a hyper-independent. This is one of the hills that I will die on. What I don't like is that it encourages a fusion with the label. The deficit becomes part of the identity rather than an aspect of behavior that can be modified. Because it's important to remember that the brain retains plasticity. It continues to change and grow with experience. So, with effort and repetition and time, you can shift aspects of your behavior and your personality. People prone to pessimism can become more optimistic. People with avoidant attachment styles can become more secure. I'm not suggesting it's easy, but it becomes much harder if you start to conceive of aspects of your personality as fixed and indelible parts of your identity. Okay, so we're going to take a little break now. I had some feedback that the adverts came as a bit of a shock in contrast to the episodes. I'm sorry about that. I don't have any control over that. But what I can do is to give you a countdown so that you can brace yourself. When we come back, I'll talk about what I consider to be a non-traumatic contributing factor to what people are calling hyper-independence. We'll go to a break in 3, 2, 1.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, "What the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass?" So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number 1 in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
Mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 5/31/24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
For me, one of the significant factors in a tendency to extreme self-reliance is the pathologizing of dependence. Dependence is typically understood in zero-sum terms. You are either independent, good, or dependent, bad. Dependence is associated with helplessness. Someone who is dependent on alcohol, for example, is unable to function properly without it. Dependence in our social conversations is synonymous with helplessness and weakness. And what we know psychologically is that we hate feeling weak. Vulnerability is risky, and so the opposite of vulnerable feels like safety. However, therapeutically, we think of dependence which is different from utter helplessness, as a normal state, because simply, we can't do it all ourselves. When I talk to clients about this, I often use the analogy of building a house of cards. So, each person is a playing card. And we, certainly in the West, tend to have the view that we should seek to be profoundly independent. But this is like trying to stand a playing card on its edge. If you're lucky, you'll get a few milliseconds of hold, but it won't last. But when people typically think of the word dependence, they imagine one card lying flat on top of the other, a state of collapse where one card is completely obscured and essentially flattened by the other one. Of course, if this is what you imagine or have experienced dependence to be, it's not at all surprising that this would not appeal to you. And in that case, you'd be forgiven for thinking, well, I'll take my chances standing on my own, thank you very much. However, I would suggest that this really isn't dependence, but what can sometimes be called codependence, or even a kind of martyrdom, a complete disavowal of the self. That is not healthy, sustainable, or frankly, much fun. Rather, I suggest you think about dependence in relationships like building a house of cards. If you can get the cards to stand evenly against each other, the combined strength and stability is greater than can be achieved by a single card by itself. And you can build from there. So, in summary, hyperindependence is described as a type of extreme self-reliance. Many claim it is a direct result of trauma. I think that while that may certainly be the case for some, it will be more complex than that for others, and it doesn't help anyone to start looking for trauma where there was none. And perhaps we can start by decontaminating our understanding of what it means to be dependent. That it's not a sign of personal failure, but often a simple recognition of one's limits and real-world limitations. Self-reliance and responsibility are features of healthy adulthood, but total independence is a myth. Okay, that's all I have for you today. If you have any thoughts or comments on this subject, please pop them under the Instagram post for this episode, which I will link in the description. If you enjoyed this episode, please consider either sharing it or leaving a positive review. That just leaves me to thank you very much for listening, and until next time, take very good care.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at hellofresh.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.